What's up, everybody? It's Joe LaPuma. You were listening, you were watching the Complex Sneaker Show. As always, I'm joined by my two friends, my two co-hosts. To my right, Mr. Matt Welty.
Here we are.
Double bracelets today.
I always wear double bracelets. Oh. Is that right?
I thought it was only one. Maybe because you have long sleeves on. He got his hat. He has the, you talk about me with the endless summer. He has his little surfer haircut. Look at with the little wings. I used to call him wings when I had the long hair back in the day. Okay.
I need to get a haircut.
Like this?
I need to get a haircut.
Okay.
Threw up the shotgun?
Yeah, you're hitting Robert Moses after with your little, okay.
Save your shotguns for next week's episode.
What's that?
It's a little preview.
Robert Moses?
Yeah.
It's
Robert
a
Moses
beach.
State Park.
You look like a little surfer.
Oh. Bam Bam a piggy trying to put my fam in the can.
There he goes. You didn't see him yet, but you may have heard him. To my left, Mr. Brendan Dunn.
Hi, what's up?
Is that a Uniqlo tee?
Always.
Because your boy re-upped. I went to Uniqlo. Uniqlo, you in stores now. This isn't an ad. He put me on.
Let's go.
They didn't have the ones that I want, but yeah, I will
get it. Did you call it Uniqlo?
He kind of did.
Uniqlo. Was that my accent?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
It's my accent. I know it was St. Patrick's Day yesterday, but I'm Italian. Sometimes I say things and...
Man, St. Patrick's Day was hellish in the city.
Uniqlo, sorry. We're not getting to that. Uniqlo, U-Airism tea. Did you try that one?
No, I skipped that one.
Oh, you got to try it.
I love the Airism. I like straight cotton.
Okay, but I re-upped. You should try it, though. I knew that was a Uniqlo.
Why can't we talk about St. Patrick's Day?
Pass.
All right.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to all who celebrated.
you just skip over. Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah. Buddy.
Oh, you did you celebrate?
What I mean, no, but I'm quite Irish.
Oh.
Don't you have a...
Corned beef and cabbage? You didn't invite the lads over yesterday?
No, we didn't. Also, Ramadan Mubarak to all who celebrate.
Of course.
Should have given that PSA in last week's episode, but
of course.
Mention. Yeah, but St. Patrick's Day in the city is always a hellish event.
And it was tied with the New York City Half Marathon.
Yes.
Didn't run.
Did not run, never have ran.
I meant myself, not you.
No, I know. I was saying I didn't run either. Okay. Wait, how many half marathons have you done?
I've only officially done one half marathon, but I've ran 13 miles like a million times.
That doesn't count though.
I know. I'm just so people know my level of fitness.
Yeah, but that's a different.
Yes, of course.
You know, hey, have you ever done the Tour de France? No, but I've biked 50 miles before. Not the same. Not the same, but I see what you're saying.
Big up Russ Bankston.
Yes.
On his bike 50 miles every day, it seems like.
Yes, with the little squirrel.
The squirrel, yeah.
Always. The squirrel. Common content, baby. Today, obviously, we have Kermit Frost.
Yes.
Fresh off the McDonald's collaboration. Not only did he get a Happy Meal, clothes, a footwear clog. Going to talk to him about that monumental collaboration.
Yeah, the Nuggets.
Do you think he's going to bring a Shamrock Shake for you, Brendan?
Well, he convinced me to go get the Raisin Cane's green lemonade.
Shamrock lemonade.
There we go.
Oh, what else? Oh, I want to talk about some super sneaker insidery nerdy stuff, as I always do. Some complaining about how other outlets are covering sneakers. This stuff doesn't matter in the grand scheme, but what does matter, some Adidas earnings news.
Yes.
Yeezy, Taylor Swift.
And... we're going to talk about if gatekeeping in sneakers is a real thing.
Oh, of course.
Always exciting.
Yep. And the new Mischief boot.
Yes.
Oh, you know who did run the half marathon? Lil Nas X in the...
Dude.
How did he do that?
Did he
finish it?
Okay, so there was a photo of Lil Nas X. It looked like he was at the finish line of the New York City half. He had on the Coach sneakers.
High tops, yeah.
Actual luxury designer shoes to run a half marathon in.
Are Coach sneakers actually considered luxury designer?
Not enough?
No.
Okay. Pardon me. What a feat. Not good for your feet, but it is a feat.
No, that had to hurt. But yeah, saw that.
I love this. I mean, look, I don't know how much of a troll moment it was. Lil Nas X is a top-tier troll, and maybe this was just another bid for attention, but I respect it. It's funny, and it's actually difficult to do.
Has to be.
I feel like it's a handicap for a race like that.
Definitely.
You can subtract 20 minutes off your time or something. Also, I think Gerald Flores ran it.
Shouts to Gerald Flores. Yep.
Victor Dang ran it.
Shouts to Victor.
A lot of my friends in the running community ran it, but we're not going to run down every single name.
We don't have enough time for
OMRC
that.
OMRC out here heavy. You know what it is.
Of course.
Actually, last week I was doing a bit of running around, if not officially for the half marathon. I ran down to Thurgood Marshall Courthouse.
Of course he did. Hold on. Zoom in. He went like this. Oh, I see that there's a case that I'm interested in. Let me go down to the courts. He put on his little suit.
No.
Clip-on tie.
He had a khaki blazer.
Clip-on tie.
This is all a lie.
This is all a lie. Clip-on tie. Then... Hold on.
Looking like Humphrey Bogart.
Exactly. with a little fedora like Dick Tracy. Okay.
That's not true. That's,
okay. And then he had his little
pocket protector,
recorder.
With the down pen.
And just, yeah. And he was documenting Bape Nike?
Yeah, Nike suit.
What happened? Bape. Any?
So, can I correct the record? So I was actually wearing a Jound fit.
Oh, okay.
I'm mad Wealthy didn't notice it.
The Jound to the jury.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, this was at the courthouse downtown. This is for the initial pretrial conference for Nike suing Bape over the Bapes of Sneakers, something I've been obsessed with. A lawsuit with a lot of history behind it, 20 plus years of Nike looking sneakers, and the Bape says this wasn't that interesting of an event at the courthouse, but I wanted to go because I like to go to these things and I like to keep an eye on what's happening. And Bape's lawyer did say that they are, quote, remarkably close to settling this.
Okay.
Nike's lawyers were like, oh, we wouldn't say we're remarkably close, but they have been talking settlement, but nothing new on that really just yet. Oh, it was a poetic moment, I'll say, when I stepped out of the courthouse and literally right there on the sidewalk as I left. And this is a case, again, that has a lot of background, a lot of precedent when it comes to Nike attacking people over bootleg shoes that look like Nikes, especially Air Force Ones. Right when I stepped outside of the courthouse, I looked down and there's an empty pack of Newports there on the sidewalk.
Oh.
Just a beautiful little asterisk on the day.
Some character, right?
You know what I mean? Especially in reference to Ari's menthol bootlegs. Yeah. It just felt like the universe had ordained it.
We call it irony, right? What? That's the wrong term? What is it? What would it be? Tell me. You're the wordsmith.
Sure, we'll use irony.
Okay.
We'll call it ironic.
Can't pronounce Uniqlo correctly. Irony is wrong. We're 6 minutes in. How many more?
It's
Monday. I'm a little rusty.
Oh. Is this like your version of like, if I were to get super excited seeing that there's like a PBR rodeo or a George Strait concert coming up, that you see that there's a sneaker court case in New York City that you can attend, you're like, oh, I'm going to that one.
No, it's his SantaCon.
Well, I enjoyed myself.
That a boy. Mischief.
Yes.
Some housekeeping. They have a new boot coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Take off of.
Can we say it? Are we legally allowed to say it?
We'll you noticed it. In the episode.
Go for it.
Danced around it a little bit.
The latest Mischief shoe is based on the iconic Timberland 6-inch boot.
Spike Lee was in the campaign. His daughter shot the campaign photos. Spike, we didn't hear from Spike, though, about how he felt about being in the campaign. Yes, we did. Monday's episode, today's episode of Sneaker Shopping. But what I will say about Mischief, you saw a lot of people posting them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of like people in the industry posting them. It seems like they know how to break through. They know how to
disrupt.
They've
done it again? Question mark?
Did they do it again?
No, no.
No?
No.
Death?
Do you have a hole in the back of your socks?
Taxes? Yes.
Yeah, I do.
And Wealthy hating on Mischief.
Yeah, but I do. I have a hole. You know why? Pulled the sock too furiously.
You need a new set of Uniqlos.
I know.
I mean, I genuinely think that that's more interesting than talking about.
You're such a hater. You're such
a hater. You think the hole in Joe LaPuma's sock is more interesting than the. You can't even say it with a straight face.
No,
more interesting than the latest Mischief shoe.
No, it's funny because I genuinely just like.
You don't appreciate their disruption at all?
No, I don't care about them at anything. I think that, not to go on like an angry Wealthy rant or whatever, I just think that, hey, you know, look, you can go watch the Mischief episode to see how I feel about them. And
Yes.
And I think that, you know, it's, what they did is just like intentionally like mock Christianity.
Mm.
And I think that if they did that to like any other religion, like openly, I just think that there'd be a lot more like backlash behind it. And it's the other thing that doesn't even get brought up that I think is even more egregious because people talk about the Satan shoes.
Yeah.
People don't realize that Mischief.
This does get brought up because you brought it up to me at least three times.
Okay. I brought it up, but no one else brings it up because it got like swept under the rug or people didn't realize it. Like around the same time they made the Satan shoes, they actually made an alcoholic seltzer made out of holy water. So it's like, if you're just trying to say they're like, oh, you know, it's just our response to a joke on Christianity. Mm. And then like when you clearly make an alcoholic drink out of holy water, it's just like clear that they're like mocking people. So it's like, I just don't appreciate Mischief on any like that. And I'm not here to like get angry, say screw you. You can go watch the podcast.
You're on
the record. I just don't appreciate them as a company. So it's just like, I'm not going to be like, hey,
the footwear. I like I came, it. I was obviously talking about the boots, but
Yeah.
Totally understand your take. But okay, what else?
As promised, I was up early last week. See,
yes, he was. 4 a.m.
One day I'm at the courthouse.
Look at him.
I barely go to sleep.
Doing the whole industry Olympics last week, okay? Wait, did we say the nerd Olympics a little bit? No.
Oh, really? Working hard?
No, nerd nerding out. That's a term of endearment. 4 a.m., the courthouse. Okay, it's not all just press trips and lacing up new sneakers. This guy was
posts on IG.
Exactly, okay?
I woke up early for the Adidas full year report, their earnings call last week. This was a funny one. I don't think this really means anything, but Adidas CEO Bjørn Golden was on there talking about how he would love to sign Taylor Swift and how he'd noticed that Taylor Swift had been wearing Adidas recently and people were saying, you should sign Taylor Swift. And he'd say, I'd love to. I just don't know how.
Yeah. Back up the Brinks truck.
Yeah, I don't think this is any indication that Adidas is actually pursuing Taylor Swift. In fact, if Adidas were pursuing Taylor Swift, they wouldn't be saying anything about it publicly.
It's kind of crazy because the first time that I had heard about Taylor Swift wearing Adidas was through that comment. I think like no one had really been paying attention to it. Like maybe I'm biased because I like New Balance, but it felt like Taylor wearing New Balance was just such a bigger moment. But
it was
also in the center of the whole Travis Kelce, Kansas City
Chiefs.
Yeah,
it had that added element of pop culture to it.
And I think after that happened too, I think collectively as a culture, everyone was just kind of like a little tailored out.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this happens after the Super Bowl, everyone's not really like, okay, enough Taylor Swift for the moment.
But I totally agree with you. When he said on the call, oh, we've noticed that she's been wearing Adidas, I was like, has she been wearing Adidas? And I Googled it, and Taylor Swift is the kind of person who people chronicle every single item that she wears. So there are a few scattered news posts about her wearing Superstars or her wearing another model. But it didn't really feel like a big thing, and it felt like they were enlarging it more than it was.
Just to get her name in there to like try and make something viral. Like,
yeah, and you know,
it's like they write their own YouTube comments like, hey, someone was saying this in the comments, and it's like,
I took it for the headline. I grabbed it for the headline. I was excited.
I'm not mad at that.
It's like Gorn Bolden.
Wait, what? Hold on.
He's saying
that's the burner account?
Bjorn Golden's burner account. Bjorn Golden, please tap in. We know you've been on some other podcasts. We'd love to have you on this here podcast. More material in the Adidas earnings call was him responding to more Yeezy questions. This was one of the more awkward moments when we saw him posing with Kanye West, Ye, as he's now known, in a photo right after the Super Bowl. And when that image popped up, a lot of people were speculating, Adidas and Yeezy be getting back together? Is this some sort of test to see how the public would receive a bring back of the Yeezy line? Bjorn Golden said at Adidas, no, this was not that. I ran into him at an airport. He has to take the photo. I took the photo. That's it. There was no business discussion. This doesn't mean anything
more than
that.
Should you hit him with the no photos? Like,
I mean, listen, I understand it. If you're Bjorn Golden and you run into Ye at an airport and he asks you to take a photo, it's going to be more of an issue if you say no than it is if you say yes.
He doesn't want the backlash of...
Yeah, exactly. But he said that didn't mean anything. He's like, you guys are making up stories about this. So don't anticipate, at least according to him, more Yeezys, although, of course, we're going to keep seeing them selling them off and donating, but said it wasn't pre-planned.
Yes.
And then I went back to sleep after the earnings call.
Yeah, what else we got?
We have to make a little correction from last week. Yeah.
Oh, of course, Abdul,
early
in the morning, taking his... Huh?
You guys finally got what you wanted. I'm off the show.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
Wealthy's saying that he's going to be forced to resign because of this massive error.
I got something wrong.
Yeah, our boy Abdul running to the monument in the morning... Sending notes, we appreciate it.
There was a flub last week. Actually, Zach mentioned this to me as well, but Wealthy, please correct the record.
I made the huge mistake of saying that...
Such contrition.
The Air Jordan 4 retroed in 1994, and it didn't.
It was the Air Jordan 3.
It was the Air Jordan 3. The Air Jordan 4 retroed in 1999. Sorry, everyone. I got something wrong.
But it is ironic because it was...
It's been a good run. You got to go, though.
He's shaking his hand.
He has to go, everyone. Stage left. We love you. It's been fun.
Yeah.
Please exit quietly. But
it was ironic because it happened during a conversation about being true to the originals and Jordan Brand getting things right. But
one thing I did notice about the episode, people really kind of gravitated to the talk of like the new preview shoes coming out. Yeah. And like we do that, we mm-hmm. sprinkle that in here and there, but like, is that yeah. more of what you guys want to see? Let us know in the comments, basically taking a big release that's upcoming and yeah. kind of dissecting or the whole Jordan line. So I was pretty surprised.
We don't always do that, like go yeah. through just 20 upcoming sneakers and give our reactions. But if y'all like that, we're happy to do it.
One really tiny housekeeping. Shouts to AirPod Jordan, who actually put the Dreams and Nightmares behind.
Oh, that was funny.
Like, oh, I missed that.
Yeah, it's on Twitter. He actually put the Dreams and Nightmares behind my little rant, so appreciate that.
I need
that.
To see that clip.
Yeah, it was, okay, yeah, okay. It's good.
Can we do a little bit of hating? Again, I know.
It's the haters' ball.
No. We've been accused of this a lot. I do feel like a certain amount of gatekeeping is correct to do.
Let's hear.
And
what?
We were chatting this weekend about the feature in GQ about which Batman actor,
oh, yeah.
which rating the sneakerhead levels of various actors who've portrayed Batman over the years. The most unnecessary okay. piece of content I've ever seen okay. in my life.
The
GQ,
only thing
please stop writing about sneakers, Joe.
The only thing I'm going to say about it,
yeah.
I'll let you two go in. But
you ready, Welty?
My boy went to the West Coast to do a full story on
the shoes.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton's Batman sixes, right?
Yeah.
Six boot.
Yep.
Where did you go? What place was that? Do you remember?
Some distant suburb of LA.
Yeah, but it was like a movie costume design place.
Yeah, prop company that but auctions also, off rare pieces of Hollywood history.
Very interesting story.
You getting that story is cool because you got the actual story.
Thank you. I talked to Tinker Hatfield about it.
I'm saying you getting that story is actually cool because you got the actual story, but like being a sneaker blog and just being like, hey, did you know that Michael Keaton wore Air Jordan 6s as Batman? It's like, yes, everybody who's remotely into sneakers knows this. I've seen that shoe 10,000 times.
The issue is they said it was an 11.
Okay. Yeah, GQ. GQ.
I'm not.
Do you think, not to, I guess to play devil's advocate a little bit, do you think that they're like a newbie to like the Roman numeral game and kind of like maybe just mixed up because 6 and 11
are close in Roman numerals. Yeah,
it's a V and an X.
I don't know. I mean,
difference. I think they mixed up the.
No, I'll tell you what though. They love the and we get it. I've done it. I always say we've done it. We fish where the fish are. They love that Ben Affleck pops out in anything. They love it because it rates and I get it. If you want the definitive Ben Affleck sneaker history, we do have an episode of Ben Affleck.
This is a whole thing where it's like, if you saw anything sneaker related on GQ, go to Complex for the real story.
No, I'm not, you know.
Well, remember the New Balance list? Never forget the New Balance list they did.
Don't get him started.
I'm not. I'm actually not in a...
No, I'm doing this. This is on me. This is not Welty. Don't create that narrative.
I do think it's funny, though, because you said the word gatekeeping, and I was actually thinking about this yesterday, and it was... It's just funny to me because, and this is going to sound like an old head thing, but it's just like the word gatekeeping, I guess in general, but when it comes to sneaker culture in specific, it never existed. Like the terminology.
Yeah.
Like I just remember back in the day being into shoes, being on Nike Talk, and when people would talk about things how they were back in the day.
Yeah.
I never heard anyone say stop gatekeeping.
Yes, you're right.
I don't want to hear this.
I agree with you.
And it's just interesting to me because it feels like much of a new phenomenon.
Yes.
And I would have
kind
to say
Gen
that
Z thing.
I would say that gatekeeping is very much a Gen Z thing because I don't see anyone
or the accusation of
I don't see anyone that's more so in our age bracket calling someone a gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. I just get the sense that I get that maybe we could be sometimes like less fire and brimstone when you come to sneaker opinions you don't like.
Sure.
But also,
Kane reference?
I do think that a younger generation, if they want to participate in this whole sneaker thing, needs to be more receptive to what happened in sneaker culture beforehand and maybe take things with a grain of salt that you don't always know everything. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you don't know something, don't call the person who's departing the knowledge to you a gatekeeper. Just be like, oh man, I didn't know that, thanks.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just like shutting it down and like instead of it's almost like not that you're getting called out for not knowing something, but you're made to feel like less, you're most feel like inferior within a conversation because you don't have the nugget of knowledge.
Yeah, but we've done that to people before. Yeah, I've definitely done that to people before.
But you know, I'm saying, but
it's both sides.
But I'm saying people to shield themselves from any sort of criticism, they just throw up the gatekeeper word.
I know what you mean.
And on the other side, criticizing in a way that
I get it.
is less helpful and more kind of deliberate hating, but
what the
what is this? The confetti? This is the confetti from the full size run finale.
A piece of confetti just floated down from the rafters, and it must have been from the last episode of Full Size Run we ever did.
Yeah, would you ever be open to a youth mentorship sneaker program?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, that'd be fun. I think we have license to do it, but we're super duper nitpicking here, like one line in a GQ story or things like that. But we do like to pay attention to how sneaker information is presented on the internet. And I do think this was a silly story. People are always going to criticize the sneaker content we put out. But man, if you look at some of the other outlets out there and the stuff that they make, sneaker outlets and non-sneaker outlets, it's like, what is the value of giving Adam West a 5.9 sneakerhead rating? Who needed that in the world? Again, okay. I know,
there's mad shit that we've done, though, that you could say that back in the day. And probably, like you just said, and still. But who'd they fry? They fried my man Christian Bale. What'd they give him, a 6-1 or something?
Should we do a whole episode, like, arguing and redrafting the sneakerhead ratings of the various actors who've played Batman over the years?
Who got the highest?
It had to have been Ben Affleck.
There we go.
You know, with his mighty, mighty... rarest of the rare era.
My
SB
boy
Dunks.
Pulled up to sneaker shopping with the Travis Air Force Ones.
How many Nike SBs did you see on St. Patrick's Day?
None.
I didn't leave.
Were you disappointed?
Nobody came out with the proper footwear. No, I turn my other way when I see all those revelers. It's too much for me.
Are there any other Irish themed shoes over the years that you kind of like, or that kind of like,
what I will say is like,
but really, you're not gonna let the Irish guy answer?
No, but
yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
what I will say is he has put me on to some in recent weeks for
some tidbits right here and there. Yeah, we'll talk more about that later. Okay, but we'll talk more about that.
He knows what I'm saying. I'm not even looking at him, he knows what I'm
Are there? Well, obviously, there's one that comes to mind that I think hopefully that you can.
What, the Air Force One?
No,
what, that's the one that I thought.
Which pair? Yeah, black and tan Dunks?
No. It's probably, I would say, the most noteworthy Irish shoe of all time.
One, no?
Calling me out here.
Is it an all-green Dunk?
No.
The patent leather Air Force One, no?
That's nope. What I thought he was talking about.
Patrick's, nope. St. Patty.
Okay. Can I get a hint?
It's not
play
a Nike.
Along
it's
if
not
you're
a
listening.
Nike shoe.
Oh, the Adidas Dublin? Is that what you're saying? But is that an actual... St. Patrick's Day sneaker, or is just like named after Dublin?
But I said Irish theme.
Okay.
Shoes.
Dave
Matthews is chiming in on Slack. Adidas House of Pains.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice one too.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on my guy.
Those are a great shoe, but also just like those were like super limited when they came out. So it's not a shoe that
Adidas Dublin though.
Yep, and then a pair did drop for St. Patrick's Day.
Perfect.
Wow. Yep.
Perfect.
A little bit of celebration yesterday, celebration today because.
Oh yeah, Kerwin's here.
Kerwin's here, our friend.
I haven't
seen
Kerwin in a while. I'm always a pleasure to talk to.
Yes.
Absolutely. Our guest on today's episode is a full-service creative. He's hosted his own video series, he's DJed some of your favorite events, and he's also created some of the most left-of-center clothing and sneakers with Adidas in recent years. On top of all that, he recently landed an amazing McDonald's deal that included everything from a clog to his own Happy Meal. Here to talk his many special projects, past and present, please welcome our friend, Kerwin Frost.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, guys.
What's up, dude?
Through the office. The energy is up, even on a Monday.
Yep.
It's just constant energy, immediate energy
infectious.
From this guy. Infectious. There we go.
You showed him his new desk?
Maybe you'll be sitting here. A lot more of him. Maybe seeing a lot more of him.
You'll be seeing a lot more of me, guys.
Okay. Welcome, though. Happy to have you.
Thanks for having me. I love this show. I love the new layout.
Thank you.
It's great.
You know how I know he really loves it? He's been saying, love the new set. He noticed the chairs, noticed everything.
Yeah.
The rug, I tend to like Rick James it a little bit.
Yeah.
But even the rug.
It's love nice. The rug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this I saw one that looked green. Did you guys change it?
That was a one and done.
Right.
It was a one and done.
I like that. I like that you can watch a show.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see the changes live.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then before you guys had that up, you guys had like full office desk.
Yeah.
It was so diplomatic.
Yes.
That was interesting.
Full office desk, just like we're going to get you.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Shit. You know? You have a home on the East Coast.
Oh, boy.
Imagine this crew in the office like multiple times a week.
have you ever come close to having a 9-to-5? Like, what's the closest you ever came?
I worked at V-Files.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was like a teenager. That was as close.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty much, that was like the closest.
Yeah.
My dream job though, when I was come like the roof, the ceiling for me was getting to like if I could ever work at the counter at the Bape store.
Okay.
Because I would get to play my own music.
Yeah, you had the playlist ready to go.
Did you see the whole literal fiasco?
Which one?
Lately, when the whole Kid Cudi and Lupe thing at the Bape store.
Yeah. That was ridiculous.
I love those moments of like how streetwear history is intertwined with things. I could
picture Kid Cudi doing that too. Like just hiding. Like, why are you hiding,
dude? You think Lupe had like a samurai sword or something?
It was, in the
swagger.
Yeah.
By the way, Lupe will be at Complex Con Hong Kong this week, where I will also be.
Wow. He's heading out tomorrow.
Yeah,
Have you been to Hong Kong?
No, I've not.
Wow.
Looking forward to it, though. Have you been?
I've never been to Hong Kong. Yeah. What are you looking forward to the most? I'll
bring you back some treats.
Yeah, please. Some Verdi keychains.
Yeah, things like that. I got the
passport.
Nature.
Thanks for sending me that. The Verdi passport.
Oh, we got wait, let's not lose track of things. Can we talk about the footwear we have on?
Yes, of course.
Kerwin, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing my first original silhouette.
Yeah.
These are the Fry Guy sneakers I made with McDonald's.
It could only be you.
This is true.
Only you could do this.
Thank you. These were really hard to make.
How so?
What do you mean? Like, what was the process of making them?
Yeah, or like what difficulties arose?
Well, I think with Adidas, I always wanted to make the first shoe I wanted to make was kind of like this, like, it was almost a play off of the Ralph Simmons bunny boot. And then it was more of like how old ski boots used to have like that arc that go up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a kind of like a rubber boot. That was like the first thing I wanted to do. And then, but when I came in, it was a year of the superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to that time, there's like this like class photo and it's like me, Jonah Hill, Ninja, the street. Why would they give Ninja a deal? He's sitting at a
don't
computer.
Get him started. Yeah. Well, you and Ninja squashed the beef. That's one beef that you squashed. Ninja.
Adidas was trying things, okay? Yep. And that's when I came in and they were like, hey, okay, all right, do this and eventually you will get your, you know, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to do that shoe. And with McDonald's, I worked with my friend Charles Magnan, who had wanted to start his own sneaker company and he had been working on it for 2 years. And he had been telling me about it and it was... You know, when he had told me about it, it was before kind of like the Alibaba version of like kids making like their own dunks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even at the time, I was like, that's kind of unheard of. Like no one's going to, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not a
hard
thing
to gain any support. For
yeah, exactly.
Independent brand thank you.
Yes, that's what I meant to say. That's very exactly. but he had constructed this team. It was almost like the Avengers. Of he got some Adidas employees. He got Brian, who worked on my project, a couple others, and it almost like a Nathan Fielder. It was like a mimicked like exact version of what it was to create a sneaker, which I mm-hmm. thought was really amazing. And the idea for the shoe, I mean, I had already had it on my McDonald's character,
mm-hmm.
But it's so much more than that when you're actually like making it real life. Obviously, as you know. There was like so many tries at like trying to get the height right,
yeah.
Trying to get them to still be light. A big inspiration was the Balenciaga Techniclog.
Okay,
that shoe weighs a fucking ton.
Mm. And are these really heavy?
No, they're really light. You should.
He's about to bonk you over the head with it.
No.
Oh wow, yeah. Super light.
No, I'm very confident about
super
these.
Light.
Do we need to reenact like the when we had Action Bronson on the show and Brendan had to try on the?
Yeah, wow. Super
yeah, light. No, so it was like trying to get the height right for the Short Kings. So, you know, you get some height in there. And then that reflective applicant was probably the hardest part.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, going to see your shoe in Adidas on the shelves versus going to McDonald's and seeing your Happy Meal, getting your Happy Meal, what is that feeling like? To me, the Happy Meal, we're old.
Right.
We're old. I'll still almost order a Happy Meal just for like the packaging and
no,
like.
No, you won't. Are you a toy? That'd be like, sir, do you have a child not with you? You're a grown
niece
man.
Niece and nephew, obviously.
Like trying to show up to Chuck E. Cheese without a kid.
No, sir, but to, no.
Sir, are you not, here with a child?
No, on or? Postmates, when you could, like.
Just for the vibes?
Exactly, for the vibes. What's it like having the Happy Meal in McDonald's locations, though?
It's insane.
Is that crazier almost than, like, having the Adidas on the shelf?
Absolutely, yeah, no. With Adidas, it was tough. I mean, they were great to work with. It was just, I think they were trying too many things at once.
Mm-hmm.
And so they weren't at fault. Like I had probably like five different teams, like for like one drop.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, you know, there was so much. It was during COVID. When that came out, it was like not really clear. Like we couldn't do physical like in-store things. It was like you kind of had to like maybe find the stock list and then go see it.
Yeah.
So it didn't hit as hard with McDonald's. It was like at every McDonald's. And I had people like, oh, okay, all right. Like, so like, which, and it's like, no, it's at every McDonald's.
Crazy.
And just, and that was insane. That, yeah, I went to a bunch of McDonald's. I milked it to the bone.
Where's the furthest you went from your house? Like how far out did you go?
Let me see.
How many did you hit? Like
probably like Vegas.
Wow.
There was like one. I just went to like every McDonald's on the way to Vegas.
that's a great road trip.
Yeah. Did you get
with like the director of the campaign, Dan Strait, we just got in the car and we're like, all right,
wow. Let's
go. Did you get recognized within the McDonald's when you walked in?
Dude, it's interesting because normally who they work with is like, you'll think of a Travis Scott, yeah, or mm-hmm, like a, but with me, it's, you know, I'm not even on a humble, it's like, come on, bro. Like, you know, not everyone in the world's going to know you. So it was like, they would be confused and they'd be like, they have like a picture in the back. They're like, wait, you're the guy. Like it would always be that moment. Or there would be like, the best would be like excited employees who would DM me, or I would see them at the store,
yeah,
and they would tell me like how excited they were about it. That's awesome. Even more than the meal, the merch, the uniform.
Yeah.
The uniform shirt. I really spent time on, and they like produced like a million of those.
Crazy.
It was like the most of any, you know, quantity of shirt I could ever make. But
dude, and you brought the nuggets back.
Yes.
Yes. The yeah. More importantly. Yeah. That is true. No, this is every part of it is amazing. I love McDonald's.
Speaking of Adidas.
Yep. Adidas. Yes.
I had to do it to them.
This is true.
This is true. The Kerwin Frost Benchmates.
The Benchmates.
Yeah.
Wow.
Busted them out for the first time today because we had you here. Your Adidas sneaker. Yeah, I love this sneaker. I can't really pinpoint what it reminds me of in my childhood, but it's like a dream from 30 years ago. You know, some polygonal Super Nintendo.
It's lenticular odd seeing them on you. I like
stunt
it.
Stunt race. Looks FX. Good. Did I do it right?
Yeah.
Do it. Business on top, party on the
yeah. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, there's a little cheat on the bottom. Yeah.
Also, one of the women in the lobby. She never really says anything to me other than just like hi, but she stopped. I broke her neck. Wow. She was like, I like your shoes. Wow. And I was like, thank you.
I like that.
Thank you. Do they run big though? Because this is a 9.5. And now I'm having even more second thoughts about what sneaker size I really wear.
Yeah, I have the same problem. I have like a wide foot.
Yeah.
So I'll wear like a 10.5 to a 12.5.
No. Wow. No, you don't do that big of a range. Yeah. No, you didn't even say that with a straight face.
I swear.
Yeah, but he also like made like oversized shoes.
Yeah, so I made the first oversized shoes.
You don't have an issue wearing
I did.
A big shoe.
Stamp that.
It's stamped.
Yeah. I'm doing Cortez Air Max 95.
Wait, have you worn those before?
It's a work day. Double header for us. Comfortable in these. This is what I went with.
Just going N Clothing, Hoka collaboration.
Hmm. With who?
N Clothing.
And Hoka.
And Hoka.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. You hit like trails?
No.
What's this shirt you're wearing?
It's just a CrossFit t-shirt. Oh, nice. But I feel like way too tall on these.
Really?
I was walking in them when I felt.
Something for the short kings.
Yeah.
For the short kings.
I will say though, so he got those and he said they're too big, right?
Yeah.
Were they too big? No.
Did they have a little extra space?
No, they fit well, but they're a 9.5. So.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. The sizing runs big on that shoe.
Maybe.
Maybe
I'm actually have that small of a foot.
I doubt it. I mean, you know shoes.
Sorry,
it's getting hot in here.
It is. It's very hot in here.
Hold on.
Is Nelly going to show up?
Nelly. Oh, shit. Sorry.
Don't worry. We'll keep all this.
One second. I'll just.
And you're putting the Peli Peli on the ground?
It's on the rug. All right. Okay, so it's like this.
So you said that those shoes, you think hypothetically, may run bigger. Your foot may be smaller than you think it is. Kerwin, I had gotten a pair of the Micro Bounce that you did from an agency, and they had sent it in a size 11, and I wanted to wear them, and I was super disappointed because they ran like a whole size
up,
too small.
Oh, yeah, they did fit. Yeah, they were like that.
And they were like, how do you like the shoes? And I was like, I really love Kerwin.
Yeah,
the shoes look great, but I was like, but someone at the company just...
That's right.
And I feel like I had to say this to Adidas because they're asking you how you like the shoe. And I'm like, someone along the way just made it and I know that has nothing that you do.
No. Yeah.
Is that like frustrating to any degree where it's like you like maybe like put all your time in to like make a shoe and then like the brand behind the scenes like can't get the fit
they
right?
They were trying things. They were just trying things. I feel like I get there sometimes and I'm just like, it's all right. You got to just That's just what it was.
Water under the bridge.
It's kind of ironic though, because my first shoe was like a
so big.
It was a big shoe.
That was supposed to be we thought that's what you wanted. Foot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Use some more room in there. Also, let those toes breathe.
You, you had Tim Robinson in the campaign for that
yes,
shoe.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
So good.
Thank you.
That guys. Just how and tell me everything about what he's like in real life. I'm the biggest fan.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. He's amazing. He's exactly. There's like a couple people who I've met who are like just one to one kind of how you would imagine. I feel like. Tim and Mac DeMarco, who were in there, they're very much themselves. I love Tim so much. I talk to him all the time.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and I'm doing doing the merch for his tour.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, his first merch.
I remember you said that for the Superstar, you got an actual size 22 off eBay.
How
tough was it to find a size 22?
It wasn't super tough. There just wasn't a lot of pairs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how big were you on like eBay throughout the years, and do you still like scour for still, like yeah, old references? It's like, what are some of the things you pulled from there
at the time?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It was mostly like Jeremy Scott, Missy Elliott. Yeah, Jeremy Scott, Missy Elliott stuff, really the most, honestly. And then like Kobe twos.
You still on eBay heavy?
I am, but I've been into cassettes and boomboxes a lot lately.
Okay. Really,
I don't like not to be like a you know what I mean, but it's like. There's something about like physical music that feels so personal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a CD, you don't even have to go to cassette. If you put in a CD, it just feels like you're listening to like a journal entry or something. Mm-hmm. It's very personal. If you have headphones and it's just the one album. Some.
You have a CD player? What do you have? You have like a Discman?
Yeah, like a Walkman CD player.
Yeah.
Speaking of rare collectible stuff, I don't know why it's like popped in my head and I'm still laughing about this. When you did the Christmas with the Kardashians.
Classic.
Video, did you went up to Alex Rodriguez and asked him to sign a baseball?
Yeah, right? I did.
Yeah. I don't know what it's like, just like what's like absurd.
Did he do it?
I think he got did he get like mad or
no, he did it. I had asked J-Lo to sign a copy of Selena and she's like, I'm not signing that. No, we had gotten Kim Schaub had sent us the guest list and we had maybe like 5 hours before that party. So I went to Amoeba. And I was like, okay, let's
nice.
As much memorabilia as you could get.
Well, I was trying to it was doing that. And then I was like, it was like to cross gift.
Yeah.
So it was like, get like a Paris Hilton album and give it to Caitlyn Jenner. Or like, you know what I mean? Get like Dave Chappelle to sign his DVD and give it to Kathy Griffin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Switching the gifts.
I gave like Kylie Jenner, like the John Legend Christmas album signed, but he just signed it.
You've really lived a life, man.
I have.
Yeah.
Do you like being in LA? Is LA good?
LA is okay.
Yeah.
LA is okay. I'm a city boy for sure.
When you're back in New York, do you like walk Soho and stuff like the old days? And like, what have you seen this trip pass back in the day on your come up? You guys were like just running around.
It's eerie. I got like the chills going to Soho. It's like a... But I always put myself through it. I'm like, okay, all right, let me go one time. And it's sweet.
It feels good?
Yeah, it feels good. Yeah, I feel like there's kids now doing like I don't know, stuff I think is cool. So it's nice. It's nice seeing it, like, I don't know, in its new kind of form. I would say it's a lot more packed than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. There is something very emotional about Soho that I love. Mm-hmm. That's like, we were all there.
Do you feel like a kid like driving past like his old high school and just being like, I remember the days.
100%. You're just looking at these fucking at these stores. Like you're saying that about these like big stores.
Yeah, back
in my day. It feels like a high school. Yeah.
You know what used to be in this store? This is where B-Files was.
Literally, yeah. No, I cringe when I say that though. I'm like, oh fuck. I'm there.
How tapped in with sneakers are you currently? Do you love sneakers? Do you think about sneakers a lot? I feel like every time I see you have some absurd footwear on, which I love. Just do you keep up with what's happening every week?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I like tap in, but I wouldn't say what do you guys think about like kind of, I guess, the new, because it's a new day. I think about a couple of things. Like, do you guys still believe in like the sneaker story, like when we were younger or whatever?
Yeah.
Or if you think about like the pigeon story that lasted like 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, do you guys believe that still exists in today's world with so much coming out in every direction, it being so
I think it's well way harder for those stories. That's what I'm saying. Really,
yeah. So I think that makes it makes it hard.
And also I feel like the stories that we get now are the stories that really connect are the negative ones. Like the sneakers we remember now are more often the infamous ones that went wrong. I mean, I guess you could use that word to describe the pigeon dunk thing to an extent, because it was like people had weapons and stuff.
But I think even like to tie back to your Soho story, I think it's just different now, because when you're younger, everything just seems so much bigger and more important to you.
Well, there was less. There was.
But I mean, just being like at a younger age, you're like yourself when you like go through like there's a big sneaker release. It just feels like a bigger moment in your life than at like this point. If like a big sneaker release happens like that,
dude, it was an actual bigger moment in real life. There was no,
I agree. There
wasn't all these different pockets. Yeah. It was like you had to literally get up, go to this. Like, you know, I remember, last time we spoke about SneakerCon, I remember like going to this Champs for Barris and then going to Jersey. And then I was doing that as a kid, and it was a very in-person thing. It was a very, oh, you have those. Now we're friends. That's not now. Like now, I don't see the story attaching as much, but I do think it does have something to do with blah, 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 social media, what's out there. It's harder to construct that story. When we were younger, too, it was easier to sell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many people have seen so much. So many collabs have existed now. It's so easy to get one. But it's hard to kind of buy into that.
It's easy to get a sneaker collab? I wish I would think
it's... To an point, I mean, I'm not saying with Adidas, with anyone. Like, you're able to do it, whether it's Hoka or Puma or... Wherever you're going, it's possible if you work hard enough. You know what I mean?
You said back in the day, you just talked about back in the day, like the releases. Do any stick out in that Soho era? Like that you and you woke up and like you and your friends were like, we have to get this. Any days that like really you remember that were crazy releases?
I remember like the Black Cement 3s, of course.
Okay, classic.
The Bordeaux's for some reason when everybody liked those. And I was like, wow. No, I've seen...
You didn't like the Bordeaux 7s?
I did like them at the time, but now I look at them now, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't wear that shoe ever. Yeah.
That's always an interesting thing, is going back and thinking about which sneakers you were brainwashed into liking, it's because everybody else liked them.
It was like an actual brainwashed thing, and now like kids are in school wearing like Gucci reps. Like they're
I know,
it's
reps.
A whole different...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it makes it tough. So I think I'm a big fan of storytelling. I feel like if it was still as intact, I probably would come in more. Another thing that's like big, if you go to kind of like the shoes that do get an arc, it's like, it's always going to be the Jordan. It's always going to be like, it's that at the top selling of like, okay, you know, if you want to add to a story, you have to touch literally, whether it's SB, you know, blah, blah, blah. It goes down. There's not, you know, yeah.
How do you feel about Yeezy Pods? I feel like that's a shoe that you have like, opinion on.
I like them. Yeah. I like them. Because I really like the Vibram foot shoes a lot.
Foam runner?
Huh?
Oh, wait,
no,
what's
no, the Five Fingers?
The Five Fingers. Oh, yeah. Five Fingers shoes. I was wearing those yesterday.
Okay.
It's not, have you worn a shoe like that?
No, I've never any worn of the a Five Finger, shoes? No.
They're really, you feel like you're naked on the ground with a little, so it's
I,
nice.
Dude. I had a
that's
question
exactly
about
how
those.
I feel.
It's really.
Have you ever seen people work out in those?
I do not. Cosine.
No, but have you seen?
You don't like them.
No.
Okay.
It's like one of those things, just like mentally, I just can't like, I remember when they first came out and it was always like I have a picture in my head of like a geography or like geology teacher at Rutgers University who had the pants with the zip off at the knee.
Yeah.
With the Five Fingers on, and I just like, I can't.
I love those. They're so disgusting. It's just something about
them. They're gnarly.
I like that they're gnarly. Yeah. It's like, I have a pair and they're made, they're the Sakai ones and they're like leather.
Yeah.
And I just bought them because like, why do they have laces and they're leather? I'm like,
that's some freaky stuff.
It's so
leather
freaky.
Between
but
your toes.
With Adidas, I had, they had the Rick Owens, they had like the half knee, like the fur boots. Yeah. I used to wear those, and those had like just kind of like those two pods at the bottom.
Yeah.
Similar setup.
I think it depends how you're wearing them and who's wearing them and why they're wearing it. Like, I think someone can look really silly in like a full, you could tell it's not them. It's like.
During the pandemic, we did like this show called Sneaker Stories, and it's like you basically like five categories, and one of them was like, what's your most regrettable purchase in like sneakers? And a lot of people were like, not that I regret it, but one that I wouldn't wear right now, Balenciaga Triple S. And I know that you put the Balenciaga Triple S as like an iconic sneaker. What did that mean to you? And like, do you, it's looked back as like people look down on it. But what, talk about like that moment. I feel like you have reverence for that.
I mean, look, I think if you zoom out and you take away the noise, it was an iconic shoe. Mm. It just, accessibility got crazy. I don't know. I wouldn't wear it today.
Mm-hmm.
For the, like, it's the same. I mean, we're all convinced to hate it now, but it was at the time, there wasn't a shoe that was like, it was like a bulldozer on your foot.
Right.
Can you get this much weight and width like in a shoe? It was like, and it felt like it was like stacked on a sole.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, that was a weird shoe.
Did you ever contemplate it at all?
I couldn't do it, but also I wouldn't be mad that at anybody first calling that shoe a classic. Yes. Like
with the red and the blue and the green. That was a great
color blocking.
It definitely, I mean, it was
when there was just one. I think it was three. It was one, the green and yellow. When Threes, it was just those three. S's. Yeah, it was a They were
triple.
Sorry. I think when it got to the neons and the different colors, then it became like, you know, the, like the scammers with the skinny jeans in them. Like it got killed, obviously. Yeah.
Well, I think that's like the tough part is like anyone who makes something that's like kind of interesting, there's like the artist's intent behind it. And then when you put it out into the world, how like the art or the sneaker gets interpreted.
Yeah.
And then it can totally just kill your perception of like.
100%.
Yeah.
What was your guys' take when you first saw the red boot? The Mischief Red boot?
We were just talking about Mischief.
Before you saw it on everyone. Do you remember that feeling?
I was like, I think I was impressed because.
I was too.
It was at that point where they had done so many of the copycat type sneakers at Mischief, and it felt like that was their playbook of like, let's reference this thing, which I do think was clever to an extent, but it was like, let's see something else. And then when I saw that, it was like, oh, they got another one.
Yeah.
This is going to be huge.
Yeah.
I just think disruption. They just disrupt. It's like, it's the old adage of like, you know, you see it in so many marketing decks, like we're going to disrupt things, and like their projects break through.
Yeah.
And the thing about the red boot that was funny is I feel like in the beginning it was such like a memeable thing going viral, mm-hmm. but like the way that that joke lasted so long.
Well, they milked it.
It lasted so long, but you know, I think like those guys doing kind of
out of the box. Do you think it could have been a different trajectory if they kind of gate kept the seating a little bit in the beginning, or like it was played out a little differently, or do you think it was meant to kind of go in that direction? Because I remember seeing it at first and I was like, oh, there's never been a shoe like this.
Right.
Ever. And they actually did a good job. Like it, but then like almost instantly you just saw
it was rinsed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it was like I can't even look at it.
Each like viral moment you saw of it, there was like less and less return.
Yes.
On it, where it's like, okay, this
from happened. The person who was wearing it to how they were wearing it to.
Yeah. And I thought it was like kind of cool at first, just because it was like an Astro Boy that's reference.
Insane. You're an Astro Boy fan.
And I like that. You know, I have that big Astro Boy that Bate had.
Dude, if you saw those at Nego's house,
that's Japan, cool.
You would flip the fuck out.
That's
salute the general. That's cool right to me.
Yeah. I remember saying though, I think that. I don't like fakes, but if you're going to get a fake of the big red boot, and like no one's going to be able to know the difference behind it.
Oh, you don't have to get a fake of those now. They did like 18 re-releases.
How funny do you, I'm sure you saw the things online of like the resellers who like bought like 1,000 pairs of them and they didn't realize that they're selling for under retail.
Yeah. They didn't know they were going to restock them.
Yeah.
So dangerous game. Mischief had to make that return.
Did you have a pair of the big red boots ever?
I did have a pair.
Yeah.
I did.
Do you ever talk to those guys?
I do talk to those guys sometimes. Yeah. They're
What did you think about the Crocs ones they did?
The yellow ones?
With the holes in them?
That's where it died. I think it's I don't know. Sometimes I'm with my daughter and I'll tell like a really funny joke and it's just like, Dad, like do it again. And I'll do it one more time. And then she says, do it again. And I'm like, Waffle, it's only funny twice. You can only do it two times. And I feel like you can do the first small release and then you get one little tight squeeze for the subscribers. It's over. That's it.
But this level of restraint is impossible for sneaker brands to practice, whether it's Mischief or a big brand.
I think also if they're independent, it's even harder.
Yeah,
I'm sure Mischief probably like before then had built like this team and they were like, all right, we're going to do all this stuff.
But even a Nike or an Adidas, once they get that little taste.
Nike waits a long time.
Sometimes, but I just wish that shoes would be more controlled sometimes.
Yeah, I always think there's been more examples. The one that Nike that like, I hated that they
went too far.
The up-tempo.
Yeah.
The up-tempo came back in the black and suede and then the Olympic. And I was like, all right, I'm going to buy this one
you're
too.
Into
and,
it, yeah.
And then I just feel like
a
they went
colorways.
Yeah. Too many colorways. That one.
What do you think of the cactus up-tempos? Do you like those?
Wait, those aren't out yet, right?
The cactus up-tempos?
Hold on.
Oh, the Air Force Ones. The Air Force Ones with the flea on the side.
love those.
Yeah, you have. He's cool. Got the custom the JLP.
Oh, nice. JLP.
Oh, that's sick.
I love the flea one. I have the black and yellow ones.
Nice.
And then yeah, Shoe Surgeon made JLP and like which I fuck with those heavy.
Yeah.
Cactus yeah. Flea too. You were in the cactus.
He loved
flea
those. Too. That was another
that's
one.
That's like a
I
perfect
wanted.
Kerwin Frost
yes.
Shoe.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
You had the little the custom. Did you have the custom like?
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's like a. I mean, Cynthia who runs yeah. Cactus. Yep. She's an OG. I she was the first person I called when I got McDonald's.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You talk to her a lot.
Yeah, like in as much I try to give her space as much as possible.
Yeah.
And I'll just like jump in and we'll have like a quick convo. But like, yeah, where it's yeah.
Such a mysterious figure.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of want her to have
it's
that
pretty
too.
Awesome.
So
yeah.
I
like that.
I appreciate when yeah. I get to.
This isn't even a footwear moment. It's a foot moment. So when you were doing your Kerwin Frost, there's a Kerwin Frost talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And you, I don't know why I always go back to this, but you interviewed Post Malone and he's,
what?
And he's
he
in
knows,
his
house. He knows.
He's in his house and yeah. he's barefoot and his feet are so. Disgusting on the bottom, but I'm just he's sitting there like this and you just see the bottom of
yeah
his feet the whole time. I don't know, it just
he
I love Post.
Yeah,
it get you know when you get like the ick from something,
right? Yeah, it's a barefoot.
Yeah,
I mean I feel like people are like yeah it's a barefoot. He lives it's like a compound in Utah.
Yeah,
right.
So it's like outside it's just like land and dirt and he just walks barefoot
connected to the land.
When we did that shoot, I had just woken him up, like I woke him up out of bed.
Yeah.
To do the end. I swear
did
to God.
Did he know you were going to be there?
It seemed like he didn't. I'm
like, surprise.
Be honest. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Put
yeah.
a camera in his face?
Yeah, no. No, I just. Yeah.
One of my favorite ones was John Mayer. Height of the pandemic. I felt like you guys had such a candid conversation. Like,
thank you. Yeah.
I remember, like, not to get sentimental, being like, I needed this conversation during this time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love
like,
that.
Not even that's gassing. Sick. Not even gassing, but like, remember that. It's like dropped at the right time and you guys were super candid. And,
thank you.
Yeah. I fucked with that one heavy.
Yeah. That was crazy because that was the first we had spoken on Instagram a little bit and on text, and he's very mysterious as well.
Yeah.
But we rented out this like
diner, right?
It was like a LA shoot space.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was like a fake diner and it's in downtown LA. He just pulls up alone, no security, no team, just him DTLA. And while he's talking, I was trying to like interview him, but he kept doing like the John Mayer voice. I was like, wow, yeah. That's the.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's sick.
It was like he was singing to you.
I don't know. Like his mannerisms when he talks through stuff, you know, it's
so
it's,
cerebral.
No, that's the
yeah.
We yes. had like artists on here and you just, like, every you time hear they it in talk, real life. You yes. just hear them like rapping and you're just yes. like.
Or like Busta Rhymes is like yeah. that. Or like, I don't know. There's a couple of people who have that. That's, Action Bronson's probably one of those too. Huh?
That yeah, series sure. was just so, it's just so crazy to me because you were kind of like the streetwear Joe Rogan in some sense that. You're doing it independently and you're getting all these big names to yeah. come and sit down with you. And it's like these things that like media companies like ourselves were like, oh, I'd love to have Post Malone. I'd love to have ASAP Rocky. I'd love to have John Mayer. And then Kerwin just pops up with him like on. You're like your own kind of.
Absolutely. To that point, the biggest thing he's getting people that no one got.
That's what I
Chief
mean.
Keef.
Guys.
Chief Keef. Well, how many times on sneaker shopping I thought one of my LA trips would get John Mayer, of course, but yeah, and then yeah. Tyler, you went to the like saw yeah. all his Converse, but yeah, totally agree.
And you
with
had Chief
that.
Keef in the Adidas,
in the Adidas campaign, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was sick. I mean, it's crazy looking at it now because there's like, I guess like Bobby, or like Funny Marco, or right. you know, there's so many other people doing kind of like the, yeah, it wasn't. People don't understand that normally because everyone has like a. Like an agency or a booking yeah, agent, yeah. but it was legit. Like,
hey, I know you. You want to come over? Like,
yeah, yeah. And you'd have to double back sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, come on, dude, please.
Yeah.
Please. Like the Tyler one, we had shot one in New York, and then we had to scrap it, and then shoot it again in L.A.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And like fly all the way back there to do it. It was yeah. That's I love doing that show though. I think there was a trust I was like blessed with
mm-hmm.
to get that. They wouldn't give other people. And I tried to not kind of take advantage of it. Like yep. I never did clip downs.
Yep. You weren't trying to make a viral moment out of it. You're just like, here's the episode. I'm going to let it
yeah.
live as it is.
And then eventually like a rap log or something would like clip something out of it. But I would always try to kind of be as respectful as possible.
The Tyler, the creator.
Yeah, I see that clip all the time. The I'm like, all right, dude.
So,
wait, what's the clip? What's the clip from that one?
Chairs, right?
Yeah. Wait, the
Isn't
chairs.
The chairs like going all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. He's like,
some...
ask me who inspires me again.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ridiculous.
So, as it is now, what's the next project? Who are you working with? Are you continuing with McDonald's? What do you like have cooking up that you could share?
That I can share.
Is Adidas still happening or no?
No.
Okay.
But I still love Adidas. Mm-hmm.
Was that just like when you signed it? Was
everyone
it...
got the same deal. Like go to the 20, I think it was 2019, 2020 class. If you look, it's literally Yara Shahidi, Ninja, Nakel Smith, Pharrell, Nego. I was
in, Jonah Hill.
In meetings at the time, they were talking about Jonah Hill. Like he was like the great white hope. I'm not kidding.
That was just such a weird one.
Dude, it was like the Twilight Zone. Really? I was sitting in an office and they're like, yeah, Jonah Hill is going to come and save the company.
Wow.
It was so weird because I remember at the time that like he became like a streetwear icon.
Yeah. He was doing like Steve Jobs cosplay. Yeah, like
the Phoenix Suns shirt.
Or he wore like the Lithuania.
Yeah,
like,
or the Dead & Co shirts.
But
yeah.
At that time, it was like he became super popular towards like that segment of like John's fashion Twitter, you know, that they loved him. And he wore like the Samba and stuff like that. Yeah, and then all of a sudden he gets that Samba and it just wasn't.
Dude, they were up in arms about Jonah Hill in there. They were like, Jonah's gonna take us there. There was Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
There was Ivy Park. You know, a lot of, they did it all at once and they gave everyone kind of like a 3-year, like, make us, you can go, this is like in time, like you can, they all made a superstar, they all made a form.
I think it really,
Blondie.
I think it just really speaks to, sometimes sneaker brands think that just because so-and-so is like X big of a celebrity, that they think it's instantly going to translate to whatever. Yeah. But I will say though that I think that you prove it wrong because it's like, okay, Jonah Hill and Donald Glover are bigger celebrities than Kerwin Frost, right? Just like, it's just the reality of it. But your sneaker project is so much more well-received because you're so much more respected within the sneaker and creative space
that it's like
the code that just putting this person X this person equals this because they have X amount of Instagram followers, but it doesn't really translate like that all the time.
I think what they could have done more is, well, I don't know. With me, a lot of what I've done is always kind of looked like it was like a team thing and it would be me and one other person.
Yeah.
And so any collaboration I've done, it's been very like personal and connected with the brand. Like with McDonald's, it was like me and Charles and like 40 people on their side. Mm-hmm. And it took the entire year. Like I had to think about chicken nuggets the entire year. It was like,
how many chicken nuggets did you eat in the process?
So much.
Really? Like, give us an example. Like,
dude, it's like
10,000. Like it's like you put in your 10,000 hours. You put in your 10,000 nuggets.
It's not the biggest in one sitting. It's just more like how often.
Okay.
It wasn't, but it was okay. But for Adidas, they weren't necessarily trying to guide who they were bringing in who had never done it before through the process to it. Whereas if you take a, you know, someone like maybe Jerry or Ye, who could come in with like their own CADs and they have their own team that are like doing
infrastructure,
you know,
in place.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm leaning on like the Portland team. They're like, all right, well, we got this. And I'm like, okay, that's not really working. And then I had to go to Germany. And then it was like, but I didn't even go there. It was like, I'm on this during COVID.
Right.
So it was like, I think with Adidas, it's tough because, you know, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, they were the best ideas. These were like probably my first ideas in the door within the first month. Mm-hmm. And then it was like 3 years of trying to like, I guess, like get it in the production hands of like putting it out. With McDonald's, what was amazing was kind of like the amount of creative understanding and like the, okay, we've never done this.
Yeah.
We're going to take your word for it. We're going to try it out. They had never done a shoe before.
Right.
And so without like an Adidas or like a, so with them, it was even an odd concept and it took like 8 months. But it was like the trust and the, okay, these are our guidelines. This is kind of, it felt more free in that sense.
So to like get it done, do you just have like a factory that you know or something like that you're like, hey, they're gonna manufacture this, I know the people?
Yeah they got to be licensed up and everything. They got to be like official, like
the McDonald's shoes.
Yeah exactly. Like even for merch, like it was the same thing. Like who's gonna develop the merch? You have to have like all these licenses and everything. Like it has to follow like the guideline that McDonald's would kind of go with.
After doing your Adidas project, were there lessons that you took from it? Like, you know, you'd been around the sneaker industry a lot. You came up in New York and you knew people at brands, but Adidas was the first time you got the chance to actually make a shoe and put a shoe out. How much different was it than what you were anticipating? Are there things that you know now that help you do things differently?
Yeah, it's so many things.
Not in a bad way necessarily, but just like, oh, I didn't know that this is how a sneaker gets made.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't think you wouldn't think how heavy like a team is behind a sneaker and kind of how long it actually takes to get it out there. I mean, if you look at even like the Jerry's Adidas shoe, that took like 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Like, he had gotten that maybe like a couple months after I came into Adidas. So that was like it takes a long time, and it's, yeah, I don't know. I carry it with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
Did you hit Jerry when you heard about the Adidas deal? Did you guys have a conversation?
He had hit me before he had gotten there, and I connected him with Jim Anfuso.
Yeah.
On text about because they were trying to get a hold of him, and then that started chopping it up. But I always reach out. I mean, we all know each other. That's a thing. It's like I was a kid at the time.
Yeah.
But like we all on Instagram, it could look like we're all like on our own personal kind of like.
Boat. On an island,
on our own personal islands or whatever, but we all know each other. Like me and my daughter's gonna go to the same school Jerry's daughters are in, you know. It's like it's very, we all,
is it weird to you that I guess if you kind of look at it that way, that like hanging out in Soho was like your college
almost? I had no idea. There was no way to know that, but it fully was. It's crazy.
It's been a long road.
It has.
Will you go into sneaker stores now in Soho and like browse, or it's not that dialed in terms of like what you want to visit when you're here?
Dude, I gotta hit some sneaker stores.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't mean this in a bad way, because I love some of the stuff you wear, only you can wear it. You got the Wario hat on right now.
Walter Van Buren, dog.
Do you ever wear like normal shoes? Like, will you still throw on like a pair of Uptowns?
I haven't worn Air Force Ones in so long.
What about like a Jordan?
But I tried a pair of Air Force. It felt like weird after not for so long. Yeah, I was like, whoa, this was like the everyday shoe.
Air Jordans ever?
Yeah, not since I was like a teenager. Or
wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I love it because
some
of the stuff you wear is so uniquely you. And
I like
you have that license
and different shoes.
You see this whole stolen Yeezy Gap fiasco that's like unfolded in Los Angeles. Like Dove Charney was out there. Like,
but wasn't that sick? He got them to actually seize it. I thought that was cool. That like he kind of came out like that was like very New Yorker. Like, it's stolen.
I was
really like, all right, it is. Shut it down.
On my bingo card in 2024. Right. Him popping out. I said I did not have that on my bingo card.
Yeah.
I guess he runs that. Was it the Los Angeles?
Los Angeles Apparel. Yeah. Canceled King. Jeez.
You ever worry about stuff like that happening though, with like the merchandise that you know that you or sneaker collaborations that you produce, that someone somewhere down the line is gonna like pilfer through it and steal it?
Yeah, they should. Just go ahead. It's fine.
We'll take the headline.
Yeah, we'll take. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. No, I think that's they're making it themselves. That's why that would happen, right?
Yeah.
Or does that happen a lot? And like,
I mean, everybody's obsessed now with like backdooring, and like every sneaker release, people want to know like, was it backdoor? Yeah. Like, what's happening?
How many units got released to this shoe? I need to know where every single size went. You know,
right. Yeah, it's a classic though.
What's a classic?
The backdooring thing. I feel like so many sneaker companies like do backdooring as well.
The brands themselves.
The brands themselves.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
It's all right. It's all part of the system. That's like a.
But if like resellers,
it's like an ecosystem.
Like resellers hit you up and they're like, "I need 2,000 pairs of the Kerwin Adidas or whatever to like flip on the low," or you're like, "Okay, cool, like I'll make a deal."
No, I didn't have that kind of. Who do you think I am? Like, no, I didn't have that kind of deal, dude.
Feds over here.
Yeah, no, I had to for the second collection, the where I had Tim Robinson and Mac. I had to fund my own commercial.
Wow.
So I literally. Which was so like unorthodox.
It looked expensive.
Yeah, it was like $160K.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't
the stomp style ad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was and every artist like did it for like almost free, honestly.
RXK Nephew.
All of them. And it was for Adidas. And they were just kind of like supporting my vision or whatever. But I literally would pay for my own commercial just to make it that great. It was with Adidas, it was always that. It was kind of like, you know, with the first article I had with GQ, I had to like personally call Will Welch and say, "Yeah, please, could we run these?" Like, and
is it ever hard to do, like spending your own money like that and knowing that it's an investment in your business and yourself, and it'll come back in some way, but still putting down six figures for an ad?
Yeah, it is, because you. you work with a McDonald's, and then there's like, no, you don't have to do that. Like, I don't know. But at the same time, they saw that and definitely loved right. that. Yeah. And it worked. Yeah. I think you should
do it. It's part of your resume.
I think you should do it if you can. I think people, I think it makes it better. I think if you don't do that and it's just taking care of you from the beginning to end, you kind of don't get to find out what it is to work hand in hand with the director, the producer, book the talent. I love booking talent. It reminds me, it makes me feel like Will Smith in Pursuit of Happiness,
yeah.
where he's going door to door with the time machine.
Yeah,
I never actually watched that one.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, but it's like minor Will Smith, right? It's not like...
No, it's a good movie.
You think you put it in top tier of Will Smith's catalog?
What would you put in top tier? Bad Boys?
Men in Black.
Okay.
Independence Day.
Those are like bro movies.
Hitch? Wait, would you put
Hitch? Hitch over Pursuit of Happiness?
Wait, Hitch?
You guys have no soul.
Hitch goes so hard though.
Hitch? Dude, Hitch.
I love Hitch.
Hitch was of the time. Hitch is like Hitch a bootleg DVD movie.
Bad Boys.
Bad Boys.
Off the soundtrack, at least.
What I feel like missing? You would. You like Bad Boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Men in Black.
I like Hitch too.
Men in Black is absolutely classic.
Do you put iRobot over Pursuit of Happiness?
I never watched iRobot, but Pursuit of Happiness is a good. There's not that many father-son movies. This is a young Jaden Smith. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
What about this?
Watch it on the flight tomorrow.
It's like isn't it like the scene in the beginning iRobot where he has like the last ever pair of Chuck Taylors and he like opens it up?
Oh, wow. Is there a sneaker scene in iRobot?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's like somewhere in dystopian future and he just like cracks open a fresh pair of Chucks and it's like the last like ones on Earth.
Mm. Pulling it all together.
You mentioned it being a bro movie, right?
Yeah.
And you've talked about how much Soho's changed, and it feels like the archetype of like the cool Soho young kid hanging out is now like the financial like Mulberry down bro.
I don't think so.
You don't think that?
I think there's tears now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking Denim about tears? That's always been there. There has been before. I mean, okay, so like even like dating back to Adidas, like for them, it was even weird having someone like me because the person they wanted was more like a Kif superhero. You know what I mean? It was like someone who panders to that. It was like, you know, go green or like, you know what I mean? Like very.
What is go green?
Like, you know, like the Sean Witherspoon vibe where okay, go green, like environmental.
Like Jonah Hill.
Was he going for that?
No, but I mean, that kind of feels
like super crusty, straight. Adjacent, yeah, exactly. So there's always been tears of that. Soho definitely has its own kids now that are like on like a million different things at once. That person has always existed though. Kif was there for years and, mm-hmm. That other brand,
Ame Leandor.
Yeah, Ame Leandor. There you go. That's a Kif superhero's dream. You know what I mean? That's those have always worked. Does that make sense? I feel like it's always existed.
I can see the vision.
We didn't talk about the Ed Banger Air Force Ones.
These are one of my favorites of all time.
This is one of my favorite shoes as well.
You had a pair?
Yeah. I went crazy.
Did you cook them?
One of my favorites of all time.
You know, how you know he's excited. He just got up out of his seat.
Incredible shoe.
Look at for the thumbnail.
This is
the YouTube thumb.
Where is it? This is a great shoe.
What a great shoe.
This is true.
Also,
big Justice fan.
While I'm up.
At the time, yeah, I found out about those and then started listening to Ed Banger.
What size do you think this is? You would know if. Joe's
on his sneaker shopping mode right now.
You would know. What size do you think that is?
23? Is it
22? Back in the
22.
Finish line.
Oh, shit.
That's why 22. I bought it. That was the sample of the eBay, right? 22. I thought maybe he'd recognize it. I'll be back here.
Wow. Real history.
All right. Yeah, let me. Okay. Listen, always fun.
Like when you took designer sneaker shopping?
Classic. A classic.
When he took designer sneaker shopping?
Yeah, it was a classic.
What happened in that episode?
Classic.
He tries to reach for the
it was shoe classic, Steven Victor. Shelf. It was classic.
Joe, do you think that like high-end sneakers now cross over to, or like ever having those on the sneaker shopping show kind of blended in, or do you think they're even like in the same world or they're rubbing shoulders?
I don't know if this is like exactly the lineage you're talking about, but Prada America's Cup.
Yeah.
He's been heavy on that right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did. Well, didn't you take? I couldn't, but I like thought to myself, like, what if I just start wearing like just only America's Cup for like a month, different colors,
just to let people know what time it is.
Favor, yes, exactly. Some guests favor.
Well, you took
Wayne.
Future.
Future did Barney's.
Oh.
Wayne did Neiman Marcus maybe in Miami.
Okay.
But because he only wore like high-end sneakers.
Oh.
So it is creeping in.
Do you think it touches the same world, sir? Or there's still a huge separation?
We're still
years away from that.
I feel like luxury designer is just like, I'm going in, I'm buying like...
But they're just not what they used to. So like before it was like you get a pair of whatever, like studded Giuseppe shoes.
Yes.
Or like,
yes.
Even Balenciaga had the arenas.
Yes.
Balenciaga arenas.
Classic.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Where do you see like the line between, you know, sometimes we're talking about you like stepping out in like crazy boots and all that sort of stuff. And when you wear it, it comes across as like you're putting people onto something new, right?
And I never feel like that.
I feel that way.
But
oh, damn.
You taught me about the Wario hat.
But that's... Jeez. But we're talking about, you said Wayne, and then like someone like Wayne that like shows up in like the moon boots
right, on the thing
where some people in their mind might be like, oh, that's kind of like a Kerwin sort of move, but kind of not really.
Do you see
like different levels to just wearing something wonky out and like being really thoughtful about picking out something that just looks different, but it may seem a little out there to like the masses?
That's true. I guess there is still a separation for it. I don't know. I think that's my only kind of question on the sneaker culture and the direction of the fans of it is kind of like, how much are we to accept, you know, in order to come into a new fucking stage, dude,
it's been enough. Like,
we've been like idolizing and praising the same shoe design and styles. And it's like, you guys got to accept something, you know, it's like, it's very conservative to what has been cool, what has been brainwashed to be cool over time. And even back then, it's like, it's a new day. And I think those, like I said, like, those were the old designer shoes. And now designer shoes now, they do look more like sneakers. And they are more like going that. So I it's just something I think about.
It's interesting too that those designer brands didn't always have sneakers as a category.
Yeah,
they didn't look to them
crazy.
as a part of their business. And now I feel
it was almost like, oh, we're into high fashion. We don't wear sneakers.
Yeah, yeah. No, fully. If you think like Salehi at Versace and what he was doing, just introducing them into adding like this like big soul to like.
Totally.
They would never do that.
It was chain like, reactions.
Yeah, chain reactions.
That was a big moment.
True. It was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, this is true.
Listen, can't thank you enough.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Yes, always fun. Can't wait to see what's next. Always know that something's cooking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
All right, everyone. This has been the Complex Sneaker Show. We hope everyone has a great weekend. Please like, subscribe. We will see you next week.
Cheers.
Our producer is Jillian Hardman-Webb. Our supervising producer is David Matthews. Audio editing done by Haley Choi. Research and graphics from Sean Villavicencio. The Complex Sneaker Show is a production of the Complex Podcast Network.